And we will...
Do you want to call yours to order?
Yes.
Please.
I'd like to call to order the joint meeting of the Special Water District and the Sewer District. The date is the 25th, and the time is 5:35.
With that, we'll have a roll call, please.
Ron Viner, counselor.
Dan Varco here.
Stu Martinez, counselor.
Kathy Egan here.
Ken Wallach, mayor.
And on the sewer and water side, for water, Wayne Kovacs.
David Harms, water.
Bill Zotters, water.
Terry Mapleton, water.
And on the sewer side, Wayne Kovacs and
Bill Zotters.
Brian Earls is absent with permission.
Okay, I'd ask staff at this time to speak to item 3, approval of the IGA with the districts.
You all got that before you started getting it last night, and those versions are on, so this should be the right version. And then I just got Christie's email, which the council just got, so we can kind of go over some of those. With the exception of what Christie has to say, I think the labor guy and Wayne and I went back and forth a little on it. The labor guy seemed to be okay with his area, right?
Yes, he is.
And Jeremy's fine with it. And our labor attorney, Katie Tank, is fine with it. So of that large group of attorneys, they're basically there. Then today, Christie raised a couple issues here. We took, between now and then, we took out a few things that the two different sides wanted. They did their thing. They went back and forth. And there was nothing that jumped out at me as something that, from the city standpoint, that you guys would you know, have any material problem with. There were word here and there. Jeremy agreed to all of those. And so everything should be fine. We will need to, you need to decide who your district coordinator is, because it describes it in the back. That was left blank, and Christie and Jeremy had said that's something you need to decide, because that's who we work with. Set that aside, so then you got these issues that Christie raised, and I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on those from a district standpoint.
I think the major one was the fact that there was no termination provision for the districts. It's not that the districts have any plans of terminating, but it seems in fairness and in the process, you know, you guys have termination agreement, you have a joint termination agreement with the districts if they so decide, but there is no termination agreement with the districts. And I don't see why they would want to terminate. It's just that it seems in fairness it should have been part of the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, certainly it does, and I can understand what you're saying. I think the technical difference is the city listed three specific, in other words, both sides would have to agree to terminate the agreement. However, there were three specific reasons the city could terminate, and what you're suggesting is an open-ended termination. In other words, what the city said, if you go to page 4, all of you, you should have it in front of you, and if you don't, our good folks in the back all have them. And go to item 4 there, term of agreement. Go down to the second sentence there. This agreement may be terminated at any time by mutual written agreement, city, mutual meaning both. Mm-hmm. But then it goes on, the city may terminate this agreement immediately upon notice of the districts. Upon the happening of any of the following events, but they're specific. They're not just open-ended. The city determines not to pursue the withdrawal. District fails to comply with any law. District breaches and or otherwise fails to perform. I don't think it's a big deal, you guys, either. If it was to have a
no,
where either party could terminate.
It's just quid
pro quo. It's a trust issue.
Yeah.
So but I think it's fine.
But it probably should be have some specifics to it rather than just open-ended. As Rick enumerated, that there are thresholds that would cause this to terminate. It would be just wise if you folks want a termination provision that we added for certain specifics. Okay,
so we can do this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We could do it now, or we could have it amended.
No, I think that if we're going to make it along the lines of the city's part of the agreement where they can terminate, I think that there might be a couple of issues that could be put in there that the districts, and that would have to come from our attorney.
Right.
So I would say that would be an easy thing to come across.
Okay.
And
if you actually, you know, if you look at, go look at A, that seems actually open-ended.
Okay, well, maybe we just add some language,
you know,
right
what,
now.
If the city determines just not to pursue it.
Okay.
Well, then, so if that's the case, we could strike to make it, the agreement may be terminated
by either
party.
And then
we can scratch the what ifs.
Make it so.
And you don't need to have your attorney do that.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can get this done tonight.
Sure, I agree.
Okay, we'll put by either party, okay? Right after that, this agreement may be terminated by either party in writing.
Right.
And then we'll just track the notwithstanding and all the rest of that, okay?
It just
That's fair.
In the letter of fairness.
I agree.
Would you read that over again as you have it?
Okay, I'll start. Number four then would read, terms of agreement, subject to the terms and conditions contained in this agreement, the term of this agreement commenced on the effective date and will terminate upon completion of the withdrawal. This agreement may be terminated by either party in writing.
Basically the end?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, what if something happened along the way?
That would be understood, I think, right up until a date certain.
So we're gonna strike notwithstanding down to agreement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, just change
the rest of the paragraph.
Yeah, just change it from the mutual.
Yeah.
And to either party, and then therefore you don't need the ABCs because either party can terminate.
Yeah. At any time by either party.
Yeah.
In writing.
Is there?
And what you could do in a motion, you could make the motion that you want either party to be able to terminate. Approve it for signature, and then Jeremy can rewrite it, get it to Christy, she stamps her approval, and then you actually go in and sign it.
Okay.
Let them put, they may want to put a 30-day written notice and stuff like that. I think that's probably the best.
Yeah.
But you can approve it tonight, both groups could approve it with that change, and then authorize the mayor and the board chair to sign.
Yep, sounds good.
And other than a public meeting, right?
Yeah.
They could
yeah.
add.
Well, you once it was authorized, you just authorized the mayor to sign
all
it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So once it's all done. Is that?
Yep. Sounds good.
Now, I don't know if the board, let's see. She said basically that first, what is that? That wasn't really a problem. She didn't. She says that the IJ is not likely binding on the future district boards, things like that. That was her first one.
Mm-hmm.
That was fine. And then labor issues, she's just reiterating that he's on board with it and everything's. Oh, it was time. She was talking about.
Timeline.
I don't know. I haven't talked to Donna about that. Was it, she was kind of wondering if there was time to get to have us review financials?
The
3 day.
Oh, time. The 3 day.
That's too small.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I looked at
the invoice is coming in from the previous month,
you know, usually up until between the 15th and the 20th. It's normal for books to close as the 15th, between the 10th and the 15th of a month. Third day after the close of the end of the calendar month is ridiculous. That's just unobtainable.
Yeah, that is. I agree.
It'll never
happen.
No.
The reports would show you.
What number of days do you guys need?
I would say 15.
Is that enough?
Good. Yeah. We typically have everything in by then.
You've paid your bills from the month before?
We have the invoices for the previous month. Because when you enter them, you enter the invoice date.
Right.
And so if I get an invoice on, say, the 10th, it's typically for the last day of the previous month. It's called the accrual calendar. Yeah.
I'm gonna allow one comment here.
Actually, it's a suggestion, Mr. Mayor. The statement, notwithstanding anything contained in this agreement to the contrary, I don't think is something that either attorney would want left out. On the term of agreement number 4, notwithstanding anything contained in this agreement to the contrary, you might want to leave that in.
But I would say when you make your motion.
And continue on with city or districts may terminate, blah, blah, blah.
I would say on your motion, it would be that you want item 4 changed to have where either party may terminate and let the attorneys draw up the appropriate wording.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Route.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Well, when you make the
right. Oh, okay.
But it was, you need to talk about on the days is 15 almost, is that enough or should it be longer or whatever you think.
That's it.
The city certainly doesn't care if it's 15 days or 20 days to get the financial update.
3.2.
The other thing that I have a problem with is the withdrawal date means July 1st, 2012. And it's referenced throughout the IGA that, you know, about the withdrawal date. I think that the wording should be changed in that to reflect at the completion of all aspects of the city's responsibility to take over the districts. Does that make sense? Because I'm not sure that July 1st is obtainable. It's okay. On the final page.
This doesn't expire though on July 1st.
And it's in the terminology, the definitions, Appendix A, and it's at the bottom of the page. Withdrawal date means July 1st, 2012. And then throughout the actual document, it refers to the withdrawal date.
There was discussion about that. And I can't remember the exact wording, but it did say withdrawal date means July 1st, 2012, and we discussed that, or when that occurs, something like that was asked.
Well, there are specific things that the city needs to come up with before they can withdraw. So consequently, I think that wording should be in here rather than a nebulous date of July 1st. Now, I understand the July 1st because it's the fiscal year, but I don't think that's going to predicate what this withdrawal is.
Mm-hmm. Which one? Wayne, which number are you looking at?
Go to the last page, Appendix A, and it's under definitions. It says, withdrawal date means July 1st, 2012. Now, basically throughout the IGA document, it refers to the withdrawal date. And I think that if the terminology was changed on this to state at completion of the city's accomplishing the prerequisites for withdrawal, that would be more in line with what should be.
And I guess I would just ask this question out loud. there are certain performances that have to occur, like the transfer of loan documents and things of that nature. Now, let's say that those things do transfer and they're now with the city, and yet we are still in the state of, well, it hasn't transferred to the city. There may be some liability for the city if we don't have some performance action or something that says when this occurs, then that's understood to be the date that this takes place, okay? So that we don't create a liability for the city. And maybe that's better than an ambiguous date certain.
I think that's true.
Okay.
I mean, that really spells it out. When you comply with the things that you need to comply with to facilitate the withdrawal, that's when it should happen.
I believe ORS 222, that is the withdrawal statute, it states in there that July 1st is the date.
Is the date?
Yes.
For withdrawal?
Of the transition date. If the city does all their ordinances and everything before March 31st, then the withdrawal date is July 1st because it's a fiscal year. If it's after March 31st, then it jumps to the next July 1st of the next year.
Okay.
So July in the statutes, July 1st is the date. You know, it might be, you know, you could put something in there, not before.
The understanding I have is if the two parties can mutually agree on a different date. Mm-hmm. The statute says July 1, you're right, that's right. Exactly the wording. However, then there's a caveat that the two entities could agree but make it August 1st, so on. So, you know, Mr. Mayor, this would be more changes than I would be willing to make sitting here without legal counsel. This has been approved, other than Christy sent her comments, and they involved, we made that change. Four attorneys have looked at it. I would be reluctant to start moving dates and things that are spread throughout this document. It's easy to say, yeah, we ought to be able to, you know, mutually, or either one party could terminate. That makes sense, you know, but I think to start messing with things that are in lots of paragraphs,
okay,
I don't know how we do that sitting here.
Let me ask another question. If all procedures are not met by July 1st, 2012, does it negate this IGA? Does it?
By when?
Are we?
This IGA does not end on July 1st.
Okay. So what happens on July 1st?
I think that's the bigger question, and that is, let's say that July 1st comes and the transition occurs, but there's still some carryover or carry forward. You know, what becomes of the district and, you know, responsibilities and things like, you know, who pursues and things like delinquencies that would occur after July 1st but are for the previous year. And so maybe we just need to identify that there are likely some things that are residual that will occur after July 1st. And that we'll either have a separate agreement or a working agreement of how we're going to address those residuals. So that, again, it's seamless.
I think we had talked about that too,
though. Okay.
There might have to be another contract if things don't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think we talked about that at a meeting, Wayne.
What Jeremy has said in, you know, when, in our discussions with it was that if you want to start putting all of the, because that's about, you know, lots of things come along. This then becomes 100 pages thick, and we will spend now to July to get it approved. So therefore, it's kind of like if you start down getting too technical in it. This was simply, if you remember, the goal was to have the city more involved, kind of reviewing the things that were going on. This is not an end-all, solve-all of how they all merge someday. So therefore, I think it's why you can't answer every question in it.
Can we strike this line, withdrawal date means July 1st, 2012?
No, because that's a definitions page, and that's just defining things. If you take it out, you'd have to take it out in the document.
Can we change it to make it more nebulous and not date sensitive?
We could also do an addendum if we needed to in late June, if that's going to become a problem. We may have other changes to this, and
well,
we would come back.
You want us to agree to this?
I do, because both Christy and Jeremy have said that's the way to go, and I would be reluctant.
Yes, and I don't see that, you know, council, all councils have looked at that. I mean, and I would say that Christie's latest survey of it, and that wasn't an issue for any one of them. And I think that it, in all probability, we are all moving forward on this. We all want to see this happen. And if something comes up, I think this trust issue is important for both sides. But I think that if something comes up, we'll be able to deal with that in another agreement. But we really need to get over this and get down the road. I think it's important that we do that.
Isn't partially this covered under this transition period, number 3.1? About how the district business is conducted and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly addressed that. Also, you will find in the we've told the USDA we would not initiate the withdrawal till that loan stuff's worked out.
Of course,
You know, we've told them in writing of that. So, and we've got two IGAs, one between each district, but so. We may have to come back with an addendum, I think, you know, if we get down to the 20-something of June and we know that the USDA or something's dragging that on 30 or 60 days, then I think we would sit down and figure out something to continue us mutually. Because as we talked before, we could take the sewer.
Of course.
Well, but that doesn't function right. It doesn't work for anyone if we try to take half of it. So we just need to realize, until we get done with the USDA, we will be together. If it's July 1st, great. If it's August 1st, great. If it's September 1st, great. That's my thinking. You don't withhold water from us, and we don't take sewer without you.
No, I look at this on this as somewhat of a legal document between us and you. And, you know, it just seems, if it's going to be a legal document, and if things are referenced about what's going to happen on this date of withdrawal, it seemed to me that the IGA would be fine if it didn't say July 1st.
I just think we come back and amend the date at the end of June if we need to.
And I think that really just goes to a full solution.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all sitting here tonight talking about that's what we're going to do. If we get down to the middle of June and we know this is not going to happen, there's nothing wrong. We're all in this partnership together. Okay. We're going to sit down and we're going to do some agreement that says, hey, this is what it'll take to work this out. Mm-hmm. I think that's
It seems to me like we've had four attorneys at least go over this, and for crying out loud, why are we paying the attorneys if you wind up with an agreement that isn't workable? I think that we need to get this approved as quickly as we can. Otherwise, we're going to wind up with more and more legal costs, and that's not going to help the districts, and it's not going to help the city. We've had enough criticism in the past over how much we spent with legal fees. I don't think we should shortcut it and not come up with a legal agreement. But after all, if we've got four attorneys or five attorneys working on this now and they've all agreed, I think that it's up to us to accept what the attorneys told us, because that's why we paid them. If we didn't want their advice, why pay them?
What I've tried to do separately is I've asked the district several hundred questions with the idea that in the answers to those questions, if there are things that are going to be hiccups or whatever, then we're knowing about them now so that this group can wrestle with how to resolve them. So rather than waiting until July 1st and say, gee whiz, I wonder what the answer is to all these questions. And so Don has been terrific at trying to help me understand where there are issues or how your philosophies work or your protocols or where I should or the city should have a heads up on things. And so as we ferret through all that, there will probably be some issues. But we'll know about them probably real quick. At the rate Don has been responding to my inquiries, which is pretty fantastic, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
There. And she's a modest person.
I look at that as the function of this IGA, is to prepare ourselves for the day of withdrawal. You know, I don't think we should wait till July 1st, obviously, and then try to make everything happen. Obviously, we have to get down to business, and that's what this IGA is all about. You can totally understand my questioning the date, because it seems to indicate that something will happen on July 1st, which, you know, it may or may not. I can't second guess that.
I don't know either.
And I don't want to be held to the fire on July 1st and have some rude awakening happen and find out that we have sold the farm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I think July 1 is the legal requirement in the wording.
Okay.
We can step back from that. It's not like we have a finger on the button.
Right.
We can step back from that on June 25th if we have to. Mm-hmm. But statute says July 1.
Okay.
And you know, they might have put this in here. The reason that the parties, the folks that looked, they agreed to that. Some of the discussion happened. If you didn't have a date, you know, the USDA could spend 2 more years. Mm-hmm. So by having a date, it just kind of says date. If we have to move it, we realize we might have to.
Great.
But your point's valid. There's a 50-50 chance this is beyond July 1. Mm-hmm. But we don't know that yet now. Because, you know, we did get from the USDA, they did send us the letter. I don't know if you guys got it. Don, did you guys get a letter from the USDA?
As to when you had anything about.
Regarding what?
On the 6th.
Or where they are in the process.
They sent,
well,
yeah.
He's going to
yeah,
talk
they,
to it right now.
They, well, I can tell, when you guys make your motions, I can read you the first part of that while you do your thing.
So my idea is to encourage us to accept the fact that we're going to cooperate on any kind of problem that comes up on the 15th or those very close days if something comes up. And I encourage everybody to take it that way. And
I just had a quick question for all of you and Rick. Would you consider something, you know, where we were talking about that change in item 4,
yeah,
about either party may terminate, you know, and then talks about something about mutual written agreement. What about, say, either party may terminate or by mutual agreement extend the agreement?
That would work.
I guess my thoughts here are is that that may take it back to the attorneys.
Well, that's the question I'm wondering.
Well,
you know,
for
how
this it's just saying the withdrawal date is defining the withdrawal date as July 1. It's under the definitions. This agreement does not terminate July 1. This agreement goes until we terminate it. Somebody wants to terminate. This will go on.
Right. Okay.
So
you're
there
right.
Is no expiration date. This
yeah.
Is not
so that wouldn't work
day.
Under the term of the agreement. I was thinking that had.
Yeah,
to do with
I see what you were
so.
Saying.
I just
yeah,
you
what
know,
you're trying to
in most real estate agreements you have by mutual agreement you may extend
this is
going to closing date.
This will keep going until one of the parties ends it, because it may be 6 months from now.
Right.
Because we're doing other stuff. You know, who knows? So.
With all that having been said, and basically I see a consensus. I would like to. Proceed or
I'd like to make a motion on behalf of the Water District that we accept this intergovernmental agreement for the traditional period, the transitional period, with the corrections imposed on Section 4. I might make that a motion.
I'll second it for water. Like to.
And 3.3 for 15.
Oh, yeah.
And 3.3.
Oh, 15 right. Days.
For 15 days.
Oh, yeah.
For the audit. Or for the financials.
Right.
For the 15 days for water.
It's water and sewer.
For the financial statements.
For the financial statement. I so make that motion.
So I'll second it for Lori.
And with the change?
With the change, with the correction on imposed on section 4.
Okay. And do you want to restate what that is?
This agreement may be terminated at any time by either party by written notice.
Okay. I seem to do it.
I'll second it again. Water.
And it should be, you want to authorize the chairman to sign.
Yeah. And also authorize the chairman to sign
after we get it back.
Okay.
I'll second it again.
I second it for the sewer.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So done. So
I would entertain a motion of the City Council to approve the IGA with the corrections to item 4 and the change of 15 days for the financials.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We have an IGA.
Yay.
Four.
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
So on this, can I throw my name in the ring for the district coordinator then to work with you guys?
Oh, we probably need to. Mm-hmm.
We have some questioning back here in the aisle.
I have a question regarding an agreement with the sewer district. Now, is this only with water? Because the sewer has debt, but not USDA debt.
Right. Yeah. And this doesn't have to be specific about USDA.
Okay.
So yes, you could end up ending one before you end the other.
Okay.
Because this doesn't refer just to USDA debt.
Right, so there'll be another agreement for?
We'll have one, yes, they'll have one that has the sewer's name on it, one that has water.
With the debt removed for USDA and
yes.
Now is the county debt gonna be put in there?
Not in this.
Okay.
Because all of that's going to have to be dealt with. I mean, obviously, there'll be all kinds of things that we transfer around, assets, and, you know.
But that's where you can change your date.
Huh? What's that?
You can always change your date.
Yeah. This it goes back.
It's going to lag behind the other.
This is not the only document that's going to go between all the parties. So, but that's a good.
No.
You're already on two boards, so I figured I could join in.
I would make a motion that we.
Rick, would you give a little definition of the district coordinator so that when we make this motion, we'll know what the duties and what the responsibilities of this person will be?
Basically, that is the person who the city, or if it's me, would have the contact with on questions on here and so on and so forth. When that title came out, I kind of thought, that was a little odd to me. That didn't come from me. That came from Christy and Jeremy. And I think the theory was that you then, it gives the districts that they felt, but you know, I don't want to speak for Christy because I have not talked to her about it, was that possibly this could be an employee or it could be a board member. And I think that because of the labor issues that were more so in originally especially, were that because of this whole labor thing, what's Donna's role in the labor, that maybe someone other than Donna needed to be the contact at times. Now Donna responds to anything we ask for, but 99.9% of it has nothing to do with labor. It's just routine stuff. But, so I think that's why they set this up, was that there would be a contact on the board to, if necessary.
So basically the way I see this is that the information that you would require definitely has to come out of the office. You know, obviously Donna would be the person who knows where all this is. So this coordinator would just be sort of like a go-between you contact the coordinator goes to Donna, you get the information. Is that the way I'm seeing this?
I mean, yes, well, of course, that, but it, in other words, Donna's going to do that anyway.
Right.
I mean, because
exactly.
of her position as manager.
But what
aside
you're
from
doing.
Labor issues, which I would be left out of.
Correct. That's right.
What we're doing here is we're putting somebody in the middle, right?
Or maybe someone, in other words, that person would talk to Donna if there was any disagreement.
Maybe we need to find out why that was put in there and her explanation rather than us trying to guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, because her note only said, I do not recommend this be a staff person. That was the extent of her comment.
Okay,
so. But the staff person is really the one who knows the workings of the districts and knows where that information can be acquired. You know, I this is like, well, I almost use the things on a bull, you know, analogy. But basically, this is putting somebody in there that has no real meaning.
That's why you need to find out her reasoning for it.
You send an email to Donna saying, I need this, and I could see where maybe you might want to throw in somebody approving Donna give you this, you know, although I don't know that that's necessary. But this position seems a little bit unnecessary.
I'm going to say,
excuse me, I think that the whole crux here is the labor piece,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
And it's already, it's already been stated that Donna's going to be given all this information. I mean, the city's going to be talking with Donna, and
sure.
she knows, and we have this agreement to cooperate and all that kind of stuff.
The IGA spells it out,
yeah,
though.
But when a point comes that she cannot deal with, then that coordinator would be the one that would coordinate with Rick on that type of information. And that must have been looked at or part of what the conversation was with the attorneys, because she's made the comment it shouldn't be a staff person. And since the only subject that Donna can't deal with is the labor issue, that's where I would, I'm not speaking for them either, but logically that's what that has
that's
to refer to.
That's so, why you need to find out from the attorney. We can't speak for the attorney, so we can't interpret that. So I would suggest you find out before you put someone's name in there from the attorney.
Except unless they need to get one appointed
yeah.
by their meeting. So
my guess is that they'll act more as a filter.
Yeah.
You know, the email would go to Wayne,
but that's,
Wayne says, forward it to me.
That's right, and that's why they're here in session. So they need to, we need to wrap this up, so.
Okay.
Okay, that's why I didn't let him out there. Chop, chop.
Let me tell you what I think it is, and that is just that it's somebody that would abridge conflict of interest. If there was a conflict of interest where Donna had a conflict of interest, this person would abridge that conflict of interest.
Exactly.
Okay. And that would be their only role, would be, wouldn't be a duplication of effort. It would just be, there are times where staff would have a conflict of interest, and then you'd have a third party, neutral party, that could resolve that conflict. And that's why it would be someone other than Donna, so as to bridge that conflict, okay, if it should arise.
2.2 is a
good one. I make a motion that we accept David Harms as district coordinator.
I'll second. Second for water. Yeah, I second for water.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, you need one for sewer.
Make a motion for sewer, somebody. Dave, that's
I
you.
Can. Are you on sewer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then make a motion.
You could have the same person, because it doesn't matter who it is. Could be.
Okay.
So
well,
you could
I'll make sewer, a motion. David Arms would be our representative.
Doesn't have to be a board member.
And dealing with
wouldn't
the
have
word.
To be a board member.
District, district, be the district coordinator. Okay. On behalf of the sewer district.
Second.
In other words, Donna's flunky.
Excuse me, who made the motion on the...
He'd have to be an agent.
Bill Saunders made the motion. I second it.
All those in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
Okay, now that I'm the district coordinator, don't call me.
Actually, since you're the only
one. You're leaving town. I see.
He'd be an agent.
Agent. He needs a number then.
The devil's advocate over here.
Like 007.
I don't know that David can act as the district coordinator for sewer if he's not on the sewer board.
Ooh. Well, the district representative, the terminology is in the definitions,
not on the district.
And
right.
It, it says that you can appoint an agent.
But yeah, see, I'm not a board. I'm not a city right. councilman.
But one of Christie's comments was a district coordinator for each district.
Okay. It probably could be one the same if you agree that it's one and the same.
But he's not on both boards.
No, but he could be as
he has no jurisdiction in the district
right.
for sewer board.
Oh,
yeah.
It said it could
be
an agent.
But the sewer could appoint him as an agent.
Yeah.
I mean,
an agent can be your surrogate even if they're not on your board.
Would it be simpler to...
Or I can strike the sewer and
elect
I can nominate...
Oh, there you go.
I can nominate...
You could have...
We have a double agent.
I think or Brian.
Bill.
Elect Brian. I nominate Brian for the sewer.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Donna,
okay.
You got that?
Yes.
Brian Earls is
Brian
Earls. Sewer.
We'll show him.
Yeah. That'll work out.
Give him a job. Fine.
Let's nominate Brian for a couple other things while he's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, refreshments. is there
I was gonna read you the thing
please,
on
the yeah.
just
yeah,
the USDA this kind of came through regular mail to us as we're also used to everything electronic. It kinda came the old fashioned way. I don't know if it's certified or something.
No, it came to me.
Right, but
as a
package.
Yeah, in the mail.
Package, yeah.
It says to Honorable Ken Molnix, Rural Development has reviewed your application for federal assistance. We have determined that your proposal to assume the Lapine Water District's loans and grants has been determined eligible for funding. City's application is for federal assistance for a loan in the amount of $2,716,431.41 and the grant amount of $1,798,500. They throw the grant in because you still have eligibility requirements. So we're not getting a new grant. It's just assuming the grants they have. And then she had four things. She's some clarification on the legal dates of the transfers, assuming RD gets their work done, how the property rights will transfer. The bond council has to go through some things. The city would refrain from taking any action on the transfer until they're done, which we're agreeable to. And then we need to evidence that we have the employees that are gonna manage and operate it. And then, so those things. And the bond council, we did a conference call. There's like five of them also. I did that Monday, and they're going to have a bunch of stuff done by Friday to get that all done. They haven't found anything that will cause the bonding folks any problems. And then we will have an ordinance to adopt next, is it next or 2 weeks from now? We're going to have to adopt an ordinance dealing with the bond council, and that will go. So whether or not it gets done by June 30th, Sam Goldstein and them are trying. They're very aware of that date.
Okay.
Cool. We'll go from there.
Like the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
Before you folks convene, I recognize that Commissioner DeBone is here, and he was asking through the city for endorsements for the land swap, and it's my understanding that you have provided that for us, for him, and we really appreciate that very much.
The only thing, we're minus one signature, and that's Brian Earls. Now, we can get that and get that to you, but that's, the board has ratified this more or less.
Yeah, I can get that first thing tomorrow.
I was able to get a letter from the county commissioner's point of view today, too. So
okay.
We're gonna have a little package. We're gonna send it off to Washington and get their subcommittee. So yeah, we can track Brian down for that also.
Yeah, we can do that first thing in the morning.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
After I get it all signed, would you want me to bring it over here, Steve?
Please, and then, or if you can get it to the commissioner, either way.
Well, we can take it to Little D.
The goal is to get it in his good hands, so that...
Would you like to go to Little D rather than...
I assume you're going to facilitate getting this out, right?
Yeah, so the idea is about a 7-page package, so letters from each organization, plus three individual maps for the parcels with a little bit more detail. So what we found is that the subcommittee in Washington is seeing a BLM map, which is real high level and generic, and it says parcel A, B, and C on it, but then it doesn't give any detail to the committee members about what we're really doing. So parcel A would be events area, parcel B, land application for upland water, and parcel C would be for the city. So we're just going to put some tags on some specific parcels on an individual page so that you can flip through it and really see what we're talking about. So about a 7-page package is, once we get them all together, we'll scan them into one document and send them off to Washington.
So is there a point, Commissioner, that you would like to have that document taken to so you could pick it up, or Little D, or here at City
fine.
Hall?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, that would, yeah. My desk in Bend would be the best, but no, I can get it. I can get it here wherever it is in town, because it won't really matter, you know. Anywhere in Lapine is a problem.
So or we can mail it.
Oh, no, I
so then we'll leave that to sewer and water to work with, yeah. With you, I see. So.
Okay. Lastly, on the just an issue that is I met today with the DEQ and the county on this idea of Kegel subdivision, and when you end up with a septic system over there that's failing, is some of the options. And I have a staff report that I'm going to send to Steve so that you can decide if you want it to go anywhere else. So that's why I don't have it to you. But just the idea of the cost difference, they call it, this is all DEQ term, they call it a conventional repair, say in Kegel, or it could even be over in your subdivision. But those are all getting older because they've been around now for 20, 30 years, and that's when they start failing. And it's about a $3,000 to $5,000 anywhere else in the county to do a conventional repair. Here, it would require this ATT. And now that doesn't mean every repair requires that, but if it does, then those are $12,000 to $13,000. So you're talking about an extra $10,000 to people. They are willing today, they told me, and we'll have to work out some things, but they would, if we worked out a deal where within 5 years, and that could, you know, budge a little from there, but 5 years that there'd probably be service out there, then they would allow the conventional repair. And Scott has talked to him a little bit. So it's something I think we should pursue, but I have it in a little staff report I'll send to. And that helps kind of helps us be parts of this whole overall sewage issue in the South County. We, you know, there's 250 lots in Kegel. Some point that needs to be sewered. And as I explained to them, you guys already have went down that path and you've got it figured out pretty good. And Dick Nora and I were talking. It's nothing that we'd want to start in the first month of operation here, but within a year, it could be something to start working on, getting that funding going, and so on. And but the county said if DEQ buys off on it, they would. So, and the DEQ really wants to do this, and it's actually in a rule of theirs that if you are going to be hooked up within 5 years, they will allow a different level of repair.
Is that exception to Goal 11?
That doesn't involve Goal 11 because this is within inside the city limits.
Right. Okay.
But we did talk about that subdivision that's right across, Donna would probably know, that's the subdivision that's right across the bridge that's outside the city in the district. Do you know where I'm talking? It's you go across the bridge and go to the right.
Ponderosa and River,
is that what's
River
Drive,
River Pine.
Yeah, would that be exception 11?
Yeah. Because this discussion always comes up. Should you expand the sewer system outside the city limits? And Goal 11 doesn't like it because they're saying you're taking an urban service and putting it in a rural, not in a rural setting.
Yeah.
But they argued today that they believe that can be done. And so I said, you know, I think that the city would probably be willing to, again, you know, to entertain a look at that.
It's a heavy revenue hit.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be.
Yeah, it is. Cable. Now the county asked, and commissioners here. So his community development director said, what you have to be careful of, and I. That's why I emailed Dick tonight. Was if how big is the pipe? What's the capacity of the pipe getting back to the plant? Because if we add on Cagle, sure, we go do Cagle. And Burgess is big enough, but at some point, it hits the old system. And the county wants to make sure, with all that land around Crescent Creek, when that may be 20 or 30 years before it develops, but they don't want Cagle and, say, this other subdivision that's currently outside the city to take the capacity. So then when the county subdivision around Crescent needs capacity, they say, oh, well, you need another $1 million worth of improvement down Old Town Lapine to get back to the treatment plant. So, you know, there's a lot to that. I have no clue how much capacity is left in those, in that system. But it's all interesting stuff. The other point is that subdivision maybe would work, but there's a line there. I mean, at what point, you're not running this sewer system out 5 miles because the cost makes no sense. And that's where you get into cluster systems out along the river, well outside the city. But there are a couple subdivisions that border us that maybe make some sense. Revenue-wise, you're spot on. It's great.
And it's got a lift station that's already in place at Wickiup Junction.
Right.
So basically, to conceivably go out Cagle, I don't see much of a problem for that particular project. If you go beyond that to some other ones, like,
as far as water goes, we have the booster pump at the office that is programmed when it hits a certain level to kick on and shoot more water into the system. So.
But you also have Glenwood Acres, which is part of that's been mapped out by, you know, for sewer and water.
And see, when you'd probably pick up Glenwood right when you do Cagle, but if not, sure. Especially if you're heading across. The other thing about crossing the bridge, you get Roslyn Campground.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to do more RV hookups in there, and they're doing an old septic system, and they've got that creek right there.
Which little to shoot. Getting across that bridge, though, is
somewhat. What do you say about that?
Well, you'll be hooking it to the bridge.
Yeah. And the county is going to
have to. Anytime you cross a wetland, the EQ really freaks up.
Yeah, but you're right. They will freak. But DEQ, you don't want to.
All right.
Sorry.
Let's move to the end of the agenda. And
there's always something.
Wayne, if you want to go ahead.
Make a motion to adjourn. I second.
Water and sewer?
From water and sewer.
Okay. Motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
The city will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion's approved. We'll take 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm first.
6-0.
Okay.